Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to learn Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Beis, which is tomorrow's Daf. We are going to pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Yud Aleph and Beis. Today's Shir is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Le'ilui Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Aleha HaShalom. So what we're going to discuss today is the Mishnah is going to talk about if you have a city and surrounding villages, and one of them has a Yom Ayid, how does that impact doing business with people in the other, meaning with the surrounding with the suburbs when the Yom Ayid is in the city or vice versa. And the Mishnah is going to talk about what about going there if you have to just walk through town on the day of the Yom Ayid. Is that going to be an issue of Maris HaAyin? The Gemara is going to give a mashal that relates to two people that are cooking, Yisrael and Novid Kochavim, and something to do with two pots on the same fire and being choshesh for something, but it's going to be unclear what exactly that mashal is. So the Gemara is going to bring three different opinions as to what the mashal is meant to convey to us. Then the Gemara is going to quote a brisa that's going to tell us about certain things that are asr mishum chashad, that are asr because someone's going to suspect you of wrongdoing. So the brisa is going to start with our halacha, but then it's going to get to five other halachos that are asr mishum chashad, and the Gemara is going to try to make a tzrichusa as to why we need all of these different examples of things that are asr mishum chashad. Wouldn't I be able to figure out from just one of these examples? So the Gemara on Amud Beis is then going to talk about a particular type of sakana when it comes to drinking from certain types of water and some related dinim to that sakana and what to do when you're faced with certain sakana, how to deal with the issue of the potential sakanas nefashos when it comes to drinking from unfiltered fountains, I guess you could say. So let's begin at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Yud Aleph on Beis. So says the Mishnah, Ir Sheyesh Avodas Chavim. Let's say you have a city that has a Yom Ayid. They have their Avodah Zarah holiday. So Chutzala Mutar, the villages in the surrounding area, you're allowed to do business with them. It's not that they're not celebrating the Yom Ayid, so that's not a problem. Even if the Meiri points out that even if the surrounding villages also take a day off from work, they take a legal holiday, and they may even be supplying whatever is needed for the people in the city for their Yom Ayid, but they're not celebrating, and if they're not celebrating, you're allowed to do business with them. Hayachutzalav, let's say the Yom Ayid was in the villages, in the suburbs, so Avodas Chav, that's where the Yom Ayid for Avodah Zarah was, then Tocha Mutar, then the people in the, then you're allowed to do business with the people in the city, because the Minhag of Avodah Chav, Rashi explains, is that they don't observe other people's festivals. So if each one observes their own festivals, you don't have to worry about from one to the other. So now another din, says the Mishnah, a Jewish person who needs to speak to someone from a city that happens to be having a Yom Ayid, are you allowed to go there on their Yom Ayid? You're not going to engage in any business, and you just need to go to talk to somebody. So is that going to be mutter, or do we say, no, that's going to be a Maris HaAyin? It looks like you're walking to the city on the day that they're having their Avodah Zarah festival. So bizman shaderech miyuchedes also makom aser. If it's a derech miyuchedes that goes to that place, meaning you can't get there from you can, there's no, it doesn't, it's not a stop on a highway, it's not somewhere that could lead you to any other place, it's clearly your destination, so then you can't go, because you have to be worried that people are going to be choshed that you're going to participate in the Avodah Zarah, and that apparently is enough to be considered an abizrayu of Avodah Zarah, which is aser for Avodah Zarah, which is also like Avodah Zarah, the Ritva says, and that would be Yaharig Val Yavar. It would be Yaharig Val Yavar if that's what it looks like you're going to. V'im hayyachal lahalich ba l'makom acher mutter. But if it's not miyucha to go to that place, and you could use that place as a shortcut to get to somewhere else, then everyone is going to assume that you're going to somewhere else, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Now the Rashba writes that if there are Jewish people that live in that city, or you yourself live in that city, then you're allowed to go there, because everyone is just going to assume you're going to your family or relatives or friends or to your own house. The Rush says from the Yerushalmi it's mashma that only if you live in that city you're allowed to go there, but if other Jews live in that city it would not be enough. But if there's a whole kehila that lives in that city, even if it's just a minion of people, you have to realize a lot of times when we speak about Jewish communities, the Rav Shechter often points out these communities were tiny. Some of these communities didn't have a minion. You know, when we read in the kinos on Tishbav about hundreds of communities that were wiped out, yeah, but some of the communities had four people, So if you're going to a community that wasn't really a community, it was just four people, so that would still be usur. Says the Rush based on the Yerushalmi, but if it's a community that had a minion, so then that would be mutter, because then it makes it look like then people can reasonably assume that that's what you're really going for, that you're going for visiting the Jewish people in that community. So now Hechida Michutzalo, we said in the Mishnah that if the Yom Ayid is in the city, then the area outside the city is mutter. So is that only the area that's distant and outside of the city, or even an area that's very close to the city? That it means even if it's very close to the city, like the animal market of Aza, which is apparently very close to it, that you're not allowed to do that they didn't aser doing business with the people who live there on the Yom Ayid of Aza itself, because it's not the derech of the people who live outside of the city to participate in the Yom Ayid of the city, even though they may be in very close proximity to it. So it counts as Daf Yomi coincidence when we're talking about Gaza. I don't know. Any day would have been a Daf Yomi coincidence when we talk about Gaza. So the Ikada Amri, and there are those that say a slightly different lashon. What's the din about Atloza Shal Aza? Meaning that they phrase it as a question. Meaning in the animal markets that are right near Aza, are you allowed to do business there on the day of the Yom Ayid in Aza itself? So Amalei Rabbi Chanina said back to Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Lo alachta letzor miyamecha. Have you never been to the city of Tzor, where there were both Jews and non-Jews that lived there together? Vereisa, and have you never seen there Yisrael v'Ovid Chavim, both a Jew and non-Jew, Sheshafsu Shtei Kederos Al Gabi Kira Achas, that were that had their each were cooking a pot of food on a same stovetop, and Lo Chashalem Chacham, and the Chacham never asered it because it's going to be Bali De Takala just because the two Kederos are so close to each other? So don't you know that they were always Matir such things, and from there you should learn that when it comes to Atloza Shel Aza, that even though it may be very, very close to Aza, you're still allowed to do business with the people in the Atloza Shel Aza on the Yom Ayid of Aza itself. So the Gemara explains, what exactly is that mashal about? It's about going to a place where there are Jews and non-Jews and they're cooking on the same stovetop. What exactly should the Chacham have been concerned about? Where we're saying, oh, don't worry, the Chacham weren't worried about such a case. What would they have been worried about? So, my lo chashulem chachamim. What does it mean that the Chachamim were not Choshesh for it? You have a Gemara? You have a Gemara? So what does it mean, Lo Chashulam Chacham, that the Chachamim were not worried about such a thing? So what is the takala that could have happened with putting the Kederos next to each other? So Rabbi Chanina says that Chacham Rabbi Chanina had said that Chacham were not Choshesh about such a thing. So we're going to have three different opinions about what the Chashash might have been. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says what Rabbi Chanina meant is that Mishum Basar Nevela, that they weren't Choshesh because of Basar Nevela, that the Ovid Chavim in his pot is not cooking kosher meat. We don't say that maybe the Jewish person turned away for a moment, and the Ovid Chavim takes a piece of Basar Nevela and puts it in the Jewish person's pot, and the Jewish person violates the Isser of Achilas Nevela, which is an Isser, Mita Oraisa, L'Sochul Kol Nevela. The Gemara in Maseches Chulin at the beginning of the Masechta says that if a Jew is Yotzei V'Nichnas, you don't have to be worried that an Ovid Chavim is going to start messing around with your food because he's afraid of being caught. So Tosfos raises the question, why does Abaye say that we're choshesh that maybe he'll take a nevela and he'll put it in the kedera? The Bala kedera is there and the Ovid Chavim should be afraid that maybe he'll realize it and he'll take him he'll sue him for ruining his food. So Tosfos says over here he's not afraid that he's going to be caught because when he puts the spoon of nevela in the kedera, he could say that he just wanted to stir your pot so that it wouldn't burn. Alternatively, Tosfos says that over here we're talking about people who don't really know each other, so therefore you're not so afraid of him. These are both achsenaim, these are both guests that happen to have run into each other in the same place, and therefore you don't have that natural fear. So it's a chiddush that Abaye is saying that we don't say that we're afraid that the guy is going to stick some nevela food into your pot. So over here also, even though Atlozah Shal Aza is very, very close, Avos, they allowed you to sell a behemoth to them on the Yom Ayid of the Bnei Aza and to receive payment from them for that behemoth. And we're not worried that maybe the money you're getting from the Atloza is money that came from someone who lives in Aza who is makriv that money that day for Avodah Zarah, and you're going to be violating the Isser Hana'a from money that was hukrav l'Avodah Zarah, which is likewise an Isser Da'araisa, right? Lo yidbak b'yadchem u'ma menacherim is the Isser to get Hana'a from anything that was Avodah Zarah, that was the Chshash Avodah Zarah. So even though it's a Chshash Da'araisa, we're not choshish for it, and certainly therefore, Rashi points out, we're not going to be choshish for Safik Isser D'Rabbanan, where we know that the money did not come from Bnei Aza. We're not choshish that maybe the guy in the meat market himself is someone who follows the festivals and observes the festivals of the Bnei Aza, and that it's his Yomayit as well, and that's going to be a violation of an Isser D'Rabbanan of Masa U'Matan with an Ovid Chavim on the Yom Ayid. Meaning what Rashi is referring to is that there are two levels of Isser over here. There's the actual benefit from money that was used in Avodah Zarah itself, that's an Isser D'Araisa, Lidbuk B'Yalchum U'Mam and Acherim, and then there's an Isser D'Rabbanan of Masa U'Matan with people who participate in the festival on the day of their festival. So if I'm not worried about the Chashash D'Araisa, I'm for sure not worried about the Chashash D'Rabbanan. So that is opinion number one of what Rabbi Chanina meant. Rava Amar, Rava says opinion number two. Milo Chashulam Chachamim. What does Rabbi Chanina mean when he says that the Chacham were not worried about the two pots, the Jewish person and non-Jewish person cooking on the same stovetop? Mishum Bishulei Ovdei Kochavim. That we don't say that maybe the Jewish person is going to ask the Ovdei Kochavim to cook for him in his pot, and he's going to violate an Isra of Bishul Nachri, which is an Isra Midrabanan. So the Kavasach and Amis over here also, with the situation of Atloza Shalaza, which is very close to the city of Aza, we allow you to do business with them on the festival of the city of Aza, and lo chashalam chav mishum yom edom. We're not choshesh that maybe the person who lives in the lives outside, right near Aza, in the meat market is going to treat it like his yom ayin as well, and you're going to violate the Isra Durab Banan of doing business with someone on the Yom Ayid, but not as far as Abaye went. I mean, not like Abaye said that Rabbi Chanina was telling us that we're not choshesh mishum iser nevela, and therefore we're not even choshesh for an iser d'oraisa. The reason we're not choshesh for an iser nevela is by nevela the chshash is a chshash rachel, because Novid Chavim has no hana'a by mixing nevela into your pot, and he's afraid that you're going to catch him doing so. But by demei avodah zarah, the chshash is not such a chshash rachel. So maybe that you taka have to worry about. So Ben Aza wants to do the ratzon of the Bnei Atluza, and he's going to want to give money to the Bnei Atluza. So therefore, you're not allowed to take money from him on that day unless you know that that money was something that he had possession of already on the previous day. Meaning, you need to steer fully clear without any chashash, without any tzel shel safek about violating the Siddur Raisa. The only thing we said you could be so mech Lekula and assume that everything's fine is when it comes to Chashash D'Rabbanan. The Chashash D'Araisa, you have to be super careful about. Now, it's interesting we say that the mashal over here is about the Jew and non-Jew cooking together, and that the concern is one of Bishul Akum. So what exactly is the Chashash of Bishul Akum? So Rashi and the Ritva explain that the Chashash is that the guy is going to remove the pot from the fire before it's fully cooked in order to fix it up, or in order to protect it from getting burnt on the fire, and then he's going to, you know, give it a stir or do it, doctor it up, maybe add some water or something, and put it back on the fire. Because if all he is mechatab b'chalim after the Jew puts it on the pot, then the kederu would not be asr mishum b'shalakum anyway. Meaning, there's a major machlokas Ashkenazim and Sfardim about what it takes, how much participation does the Jew have to have in order to avoid the isra of b'shalakum. So if you have food that's raw and the guy just puts it on the fire and the Jew does nothing else, the guy does everything, that's for sure Bishul Akum. But if you have food that a guy puts on the fire, and then the Jew stokes the coals a little bit, he gives it a stir, he does something to participate in the Bishul, so that is a major machlokes Rishonim, and the Sfardim Paskin, the Mechaber Paskins, Maran Beit Yosef Paskins, that is usher, that is a violation of Bishul Akum, whereas Ashkenazim or Mekil, that even Chita B'Gachalim, even lighting the pilot light, even, lighting a fire from which the fire is going to be lit, whatever it is enough, or raising the fire a little bit, and that's the minhag that we have, that as long as we turn on the flame, then we don't have to worry about any bishul akum concerns. A major discussion in among Sephardic poskim, what do you do when you have a Sephardi in an Ashkenazi environment? A young man here in Camp Keli came over to me, a young Sephardic man. He told me that he doesn't eat any of the food over here. I said, what do you do? He said, well, they have, for allergy-free kids, the camp mom cooks. So she's the one that turns on the fire for the kids who have to worry about allergies and things like that. So he eats the allergy-free food, but he doesn't eat the regular food in the dining room because he knows that when it comes that it's a violation of Bishul Akum for him. So the question is this Gemara a Raya? Well, it happens to be Rav Vadi Yosef has a kula about that, in an environment where Sephardi is living in an Ashkenazi world, that maybe he could be makel with the tziruf of different kulas, but a lot of the other Sephardic poskim were none too happy with Rav Avadia for coming up with a kula about that. Rav Tzion Abba Shaul and others thought that you should not be makel on that, and they were livid at the Eidech HaRedes that they were willing to give Ashkacha, that something is kosher l'mahadrin when they rely on the Ashkenazi kulas for Bishul Akum. How could they call that kosher l'mahadrin if a Sephardi can't eat it? So anyway, but the question is, do you have any raya from this Gemara? Because what exactly is the concern? Meaning, this seems to be, it doesn't seem that the guy is doing everything over here, and if the guy is only doing something and not everything, that seems to be much more aligned with the Shita of the Sephardim and not with the Shita of the Ashkenazim. Because if the Jew is doing anything according to Ashkenazim, that should save it from Bishul Akum. When I say anything, I mean anything in terms of the actual cooking of the food. A lot of times people are mistaken and they think that, if I prepare all the food, I put all the raw food in the pot and I mix the right amount of ingredients of everything, and all I ask the guy to do is while I'm at work to turn on the oven to 350 and put the pot in the oven. That's all they're doing. It's like, an idiot could do that. My husband could do that, the woman says. Like anyone could do that. But that is Bishul Akum, because the entire cooking is being done by a Nachri. Preparation doesn't count as actual Bishul. Okay, a third opinion. Rabbi Bar Ula Amar. Rabbi Bar Ula says, no, what Rabbi Chanina was expressing to us in his mashal is lo chashulam chachamim mishum tzinora. The chum were not choshesh that a little bit of sauce of nevela from the kedera of the Yom Chavim will land in the kedera of the Yisrael, because that would be an iser kal, because it's not something that is very common that there's going to be some splattering from one pot to the other, and even if there were splattering, it would be batel barov anyway. Now the Rama writes, l'chachila, we should be careful not to put your pot right next to the pot of an Ovid Chavim, and the reason is because of nitzotzos, the Shach explains, is the Rama in Yordea, Simon Kuf Yud Ches, we try to avoid such things, but l'maisa, at the end of the day, if a little bit fell into your pot, it's going to be batel anyway. So the Kavasa Hachinami, so we learn over here as well, that even though the Atloza Shalaza is very, very close to Aza, they allow doing business 3 days in advance of the Yom Ayid of the Bnei Aza, which is a much lesser Isser than the Yom Ayid itself, and Lo Chashulam Chacham Mishum Lefnei Idehen. The Chum, we're not worried that maybe the Ben Atluza is going to be following the festivals in Aza and be mishtatik with them on the Yom Ayid, and that it should therefore extend to the 3 days in advance as well. But this approach says, not even like Rava, that Rabbi Chanina says that you don't have to be choshesh because Yisur Bishul Nachri, and therefore it's a raya, they don't have to be choshesh for the Yisur Masa Umatan with the Atluza on the Yom Ayid of the Bnei Aza themselves, because by Bishul Nachri it's an Isur Kal, because it's good enough for the Jew to do something to be mechata one time b'gachalim in the Kira, and then it's not going to ask the Kedera, certainly the way the Ashkenazim Paskin, that's already going to save you from any Isser of Bishul Nachri. That's how Rashi writes over here, and that's how the Ramah Paskins in Yoredeh Sim Kuf Yud Gimel, that just being mechata b'gachalim is good enough, just stoking the coals of the flame is good enough. By Masu Matan of Atluza, the Chashash is more chamur, because of the proximity, it's much more likely that the guy's going to be celebrating the Yom Ayid together with them. So it's in descent order of what we're willing to be makel with based on this mashal. Okay, so now the Mishnah had said, "Ma'u leilich l'sham." When there's a derech miyuchedes loso makom, that the derech that you're taking only leads to that city, and it's not like it could possibly be just a stop along the way, so it's going to look like you're going to be mishtatef in the avoda of that city, then it's going to be aser. So the Gemara is going to bring a brisa that has a whole bunch of dinim that relate to chashad, that someone's going to look at you and think that you're violating some sort of iser. Tan Rabban, the brisa says as follows: Ir sheyesh ba'avodas chavim. You have a city that has avodah zarah. Aser likonis l'tocha. On that day of the avodah zarah, you're not allowed to go into that city because it looks like you're being mishtatef in the avodah zarah. And nor are you allowed to go into that city even just to use it as a passageway to get to a different city. But as long as the Darach only goes to that city where they're having the Ayid, and there's no other outlet where it could be leading you to, so then it's going to be Asr, because no one's going to think that you're going anywhere else but to the Avodah Zarah. But if it's not Derek Miuchadas, like we said in the Mishnah, then it's going to be Mutter. So essentially, the Braisa just added an opinion. They told us that the Shita in the Mishnah is the Shita of the Chachamim, but Reb Meir was even more Machmir, that you're not even allowed to use that city as a rest stop on the way to a different city. Once we're talking about Chashad, says the Braisa, I got a whole bunch of other halachas that relate to Chashad. Yashav Lokotz Bifnei Avodah Chavim. If, let's say, you have a splinter in your foot when you're passing by an Avodah Zarah, and it's hard to keep on walking because it hurts. Lo yishchav yitlana. Do not bend down to remove that splinter. Because you bend down right here, you're right in front of the Avodah Zarah. It looks like you're being mishtachav to the Avodah Zarah. Ve'meinu nira mutter. But if it doesn't look like you're being mishtachav to the Avodah Zarah, then it's going to be mutter. The Gemara is going to have to explain, what does that mean? Im einu nira. What's einu nira? So we'll see in the Gemara. So, third case. Nispazru lo ma'osav. You dropped your money and it's scattered all about bifnei Avodah Zarah, in front of an Avodah Zarah. Lo yishchav. Don't bend down to pick up your money, because it looks like you're bowing to Avodah Zarah. And if you can make it in a way that it does not look like you're bowing down to the Avodah Zarah, then it's going to be mutter. Another din, a fourth din. You have a spring of water that flows in front of an Avodah Zarah. Don't bend down to drink from it, because once again, it looks like you're being mishtachave to the Avodah Zarah. But if it doesn't look like you're being mishtachave to the Avodah Zarah, then it's going to be mutter. The Rashba writes, this issur of drinking is even if you are so thirsty that you're going to die of thirst. And not like people use the expression die of thirst, but mamish die of thirst. The Gemara is going to say the lashon of di lo shasi mayis, that the guy is going to die. But the Ran writes, no. In that case, it's going to be mutter. And when the Gemara says di lo shasi mayis, doesn't mean that you're vada going to die. It means that there's a chashash that a person might die. So the question essentially is this really a harig val yavar, like this issue of chashad of Avodah Zarah, would that rise to the level of yaharig val yavar mamish? Another din relating to chashad, partzufos ha-mekalchin mayim be-karachim. If you have a statue that has a fountain that runs through the statue that they make in these big cities, they make these statues where water comes out of the mouth of the statue, lo yinich piv al piyam v'yishta, don't put your mouth on the mouth of the statue to drink water, b'nei shenirik ha-menashik l'avod z'chavim, because it gives the impression of kissing the Avodah Zarah. And that's going to be, and Tosus points out, that that's an Isser Midaraisa, to kiss an Avodah Zarah. Kayotibo, similarly, lo yinich pival silon. Do not put your mouth on a pipe that's attached to the ground where water flows through it, v'yishta, in order to take a drink, mipnei sakana, because that's going to be a sakana, that it could be that there are creatures in that water, the water's not filtered properly, and it could actually be a sakana, not a spiritual sakana, an actual physical sakana. So it says Gemara, okay, now that we have this brisa, my eino nira, what do we keep saying? That in eino nira, it's going to be mutter, right? When you when you have a splinter in your foot and you bend down, when you have the money in front of the Avodah Zarah, when you come to drink from in front of the Avodah Zarah, we kept on saying in eino nira mutter. What does eino nira mean? Ile medlo mischazi, if it means that there's no one that's going to see that you're bending down in front of the Avodah Zarah, and that's going to be mutter, meaning all you got to do if you want to pick up your money, if you want to take a drink from the water, water. If you want to take the splinter out of your foot, is look both ways and make sure nobody's looking. And then you're allowed to go and you could take. But that doesn't seem right, because if this is a gezeres chazal, that it's maris ha'ayin, the rule by maris ha'ayin is that even b'chadri chadarim it's aser, because the chum rechoshish that if we allow you to do something b'chadri chadarim, you're going to come to do it outside as well, and you're going to say, oh, nobody's looking. And a lot of times there are a lot of people that are looking. So la halacha is machlokes rishon, that which is aser maris ha'ayin, whether we actually aser b'chadri chadarim, we pashtus, we do that it's aser afil b'chadri chadarim. This comes up with you have Bnei Eretz Yisrael in Chutz La'aretz, so on Yom Tov Sheni. So Bnei Eretz Yisrael, who happens to be spending Yom Tov Sheni in Chutz La'aretz, says Machlokas Aposkim, are they allowed to do Malacha Bechadri Chadarim? Everyone holds they're not allowed to do Malacha in public, but are they allowed to do Malacha Bechadri Chadarim within a Jewish Yishuv? If they happen to not be within a Jewish Yishuv, then they're allowed to do Malacha. But if they're within a Jewish Yishuv, they're within a Jewish community, are they allowed to do Malacha Bechadri Chadarim? So I think the Taz is Mekil, but the Mishnah Berurah is Machmir. Rav Shachter often tells the story of a visiting professor once, who was an Israeli professor spending time in Washington Heights, and on Yom Tov Sheni, apparently, he would turn his lights on and off in the apartment because he figured it was Chadri Chadarim, no one's looking. And there was a Yenta across the street, who lived in the apartment next door to him, who would see, like, from the reflection in the window of the apartments across the street, the reflection of the lights from the apartment next door to her going on and off. And she said to Rav Shechter, you know that professor who pretends he's religious? He's really a Mechal Shabbos, because I see that his lights go on and off all Yantiv. So he said, that's the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says, I feel b'chadri chadarim. You think nobody's looking? There's always the enta that lives next door that's looking. So afilu b'chadri chadarim is going to be aser. So imeinu nira can't mean that nobody is looking right now. Ela ema, what you have to say is imeinu nira kimishtachav el avodus kochavim mutter. That if when you bend down, it doesn't look like you're bowing toward the avodah zarah, it's mutter. Meaning very simply, turn your back to the avodah zarah and bend down and pick up to take the splinter out of your foot or pick up the money. Right, and that doesn't look like you're bowing toward the avodah zarah. So the way that you bend down can be done in such a way where it makes it obvious that you're not doing it for that you're not bowing toward the avodah zarah. Now the Gemara says, why do I need all of these different examples of chashad where you're bending down to take out a splinter and to pick up money and to drink water? So tzricha di tanakot, if it only would have told me the din of the splinter, I would have said that only in such a case were machmir mishum dashal mezel kameh mishkalei. Yeah, maybe a little painful, but walk another few feet and then get away from the avodah zarah and then take the splinter out of your foot. There's no reason that you have to do that dafka right in front of the avodah zarah. Aval ma'os to lo efshar im alo. But maybe when it comes to money, where the money is not a few feet away, it's there. There's nothing you can do about it. So I would think that that maybe we're not so machmir. Maybe you could bend down and pick it up. V'itad ma'os, and if it only would have told me the case about the money de mamona, I would say that only a hefsid mamon. Aval kotz de tzara im alo. But coats is physical pain, so I would think you don't have to suffer more physical pain. Maybe you suffer a monetary loss, but you don't have to suffer more physical pain. Vitana hanitarti, and if it only would have told me the case of the money and the case of the splinter, I would have said mishum deleka sakana, that there's no sakanas nefashos as a result of not removing the splinter or not picking up the money. Aval maya nadika sakana, but where you need water, it's a sakana. Di ilo shasi mayas, because if you don't drink that water, you might die. That was the machlokes rishon we learned before. What does that mean? Does that mean that it's actually true that you're really going to die, or that it's a chashash rachok that you might die? But emalo, I would think in such a case, you don't need to be machmir. So tzricha, that's why it has to tell me all three dinim, that because you cannot learn one from the other. So the obvious question that the Rishonim ask is, why not just tell me the case of the mayan, that we're machmir in that case, and then kal v'chomer a machmir when it's only going to be money and it's only going to be a little bit of pain? So they say, no, if it only would have said the din of the mayan, I would have said that the heter is only when it's the heter of enonira, that it's mutter, is dafka by mayan. But you don't have that heter heter of Enonira by the other cases, meaning each of these cases had a chumra and a kula. The chumra that you're not allowed to do it, and the kula that it may no nearer it's mutter. So as long as you're able to develop a hierarchy of kula, you know, of which is more of a chshash and less of a chshash, so it can go in both directions. So if you're going to tell me that only the case of the mayan, where I'm going to say, woo, if we're willing to be machmir, even when the guy might die, then for sure I'm going to be machmir when it's only some money that's scattered. But I might have thought the kula that it may no nearer is mutter might only apply to the mayan and might not apply to the other cases. So that's why we need to have all three cases. What about that fourth case, partzufos lamali? Why does it tell me the din that you're not allowed to drink from the statues that have water coming out of their mouth? Shouldn't that be derived from the same thing? Mishum tukabayu lemisni enochinami. That doesn't break any new ground. That fourth case does not add any new halachos, but it's just trying to set up the next halacha of drinking from some sort of pipe or some sort of fountain, that to just inform us that you have to worry about these, to tell us about the next case of not drinking from pipes where you don't know the source of the water, because it might be a chashash of sakana. So there are a couple of things that are relevant over here, halacha l'maisa, meaning we have all these things that are asur mipnei maris ha'ayin, or chashad, that you're not allowed to bend down in front of the avodah zarah. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Chelik Aleph, or Chaim Chelik Aleph, Sim Mem Zayin, where he was asked about, you have a row of attached houses, and some of these houses are turned into houses of worship. So it happens to be, one of them is a church, and then right next door is a shul. So the mizrach vant of the shul is also the wall of a church. So is that a problem? Problem of davening in such a shul where you're facing a church. I was just in Memphis last week, and they're like, "Oh, we want to show you the shul, the most beautiful shul." And they pull into a driveway, and it says "Church of something or other." I'm like, "Are you sure this is a shul?" "Yeah, yeah, it's right behind the church. You can't go 2 feet in Memphis without running into a church. It's just it's, every shul is right behind the church." So there's a big beautiful shul right behind a very big beautiful church. So in Moshe, it was worse because it was the actual wall that was shared between the church and the shul. It wasn't just next to each other. So first he discusses, is it a violation of hana'ah from avodah zarah? Because the wall of the church is a church building, and therefore you're getting hana'ah from that because you're using it as the wall for your shul. So that's his first angle. And he says, nah, it's really the wall of a shul also, etc. But then he says, wait a second, maybe it's a chashash maris ha'ayin based on our sugyo, like the splinter from the avodah zarah. Not let it bend down in front of it. Everyone's going to be bowing toward Mizrach, and it looks like they're bowing toward the church next door. So says Rav Moshe, nah, that's not a chashash at all, because adrabba, everyone realizes you're davening HaKadosh Baruch Hu the same way everyone davens in every shul, because everyone sees that it's a shul. It has an Aron Kodesh in front. It has Svarim. There's nothing that gives any indication that you're having in mind what's next door, right? It's obvious that where you're davening to is HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the shul. So that's one case that comes up over here. The other famous tshuva that relates to this Gemara is a tshuva in the Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen was asked about particular priests that would, or officers, or important government officials that wear a cross around their neck, and sometimes you had to go and give kavod to them and bow to them as a show of kavod. So are you allowed to do that when they have a cross around their neck? Does that look like you're being mishtachaveh to the avodah zarah? And sometimes, you know, the cross has it's more than just a shesh. It has a little yizel on it, you know, like the fella is there. So does that look like you're bowing to the avodah zarah? So Trumas Hadeshen writes that he remembers b'mei Chorfo that there was a certain priest in a certain town who was in charge of everything, and they all wore they would wear these crosses, and when the Jewish people would come, they knew that they're not going to give him kavod because of the toeva that's right there. So they would always cover it so that the Jews could properly give them kavod, that they would respond. However, he says, he quotes from a tshuva from Yitzchok Me Oppenheim that says you're allowed to bow anyway when he has shasi ve'erev, and you're allowed to stand and remove your hat because it's he's not making himself an avodah zarah, and it's only because of his godless as a sar. It's obvious that it's not because of the shasi ve'erev, it's not because of the cross that he's wearing. But he says that it's a good idea to close your eyes as much as possible, or your get up before he comes, so that you're showing the kavod before the avodah zarah is there. But the Truma Sadashin proves from our sugya that that's not really a good heter, because it says in the Gemara that you drop your money in front of the avodah zarah, you shouldn't bend down to pick up the money, because it looks like you're being mishtachave to the avodah zarah, and it may no near it's going to be mutter. So and by the mayan as well, that you shouldn't bend down because it's near a mishtachave avodah zarah, and only a mayno near it's going to be mutter. So what's eno near it? Where you turn your back to it. That's what Rashi says. So even though when you're drinking and you're picking up your money and things like that, it's clear that it's not for the avodah zarah, it's still aser unless you turn your back to it. So the Chora, by the Komer as well, says the Truma Sadashen, by this priest as well, you would have to do more than just have in mind that or make it seem obvious that you're not allowed to that you're not bowing toward the toward what's around his neck, and that you're just showing him kavod. That would not be enough. But he says that it could be that there's a chilek, because that when your money is scattered on the ground, or you're drinking from the mayan in front of the avodah zarah, it's not so mutzui that you're going to bend down to be mishtachave in such a circumstance. And someone who sees you being bending down is not going to think for a moment that it's for the money or the meaning. It's not. It's the most normal reason to bend down in front of an avodah zarah is for avodah zarah. Meaning, it's rare that you have money that dropped in front of the avodah zarah. It's rare that you're so thirsty that you need to drink from the fountain in front of the avodah zarah. The most natural reason you'd be bending down in front of an avodah zarah is because you're being mishtach vel avodah zarah. So in that circumstance, we say, okay, even if you have a different motive in doing so, you can't do it. But the most natural reason you bow to a guy who's wearing a cross around his neck is not because of the cross around his neck. The most natural reason is to show him some level of kavod. So therefore, the Truma Sadashin says maybe we could be makel based on that. The Rama in Yoredeya quotes both deos, whether you're allowed to bow in front of them or not, as a way of showing kavod to them. So he quotes both deos, and he says that it's tov lahachmir kisvara rishona, that it's best to be machmir like the first opinion. But anyway, so back to the Gemara now. So we said that you shouldn't drink from one of these pipes because of sakana. So my sakana, what is sakana? Aluka, that there's some sort of leech or something in the water supply that's going to be dangerous for you. Tan rabbanan lo yishta demayim lo minan haros lo minan agamim lo bepiv velo biyado achas v'im shasa domo berosho, that a person should not drink from these unsafe bodies of water, either directly by licking it up with his mouth, nor by taking it in one hand and lapping it into his mouth. And if he drinks from it in such a way, he's taking his life into his own hands, because he's causing himself sakana. My sakana, sakana saluka. The sakana is exactly what we are, what we're talking about. Meaning, the point is, you're drinking too quickly to really examine the water and see if there's anything inside of that water. So, Rabbi Chanina. So the Gemara says this brisa is a riot. Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chanina, b'loya nima shel mayim. If a person swallows one of these living creatures in the water, mutalach im locham b'shabbos, you're allowed to heat up hot water for him on Shabbos to drink it as a refuah, because you can assume that there's sakonis nefashos over here, and you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos for sakonis nefashos, meaning it's exactly what the Brisa said, that it's domo berosho, and pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos. And it happened once that someone swallowed such a thing, such a water that was unclean, and Rabbi Nechemya allowed heating up water on Shabbos for this purpose, for the refuah purposes. So Gemara says, what should you do if you don't want to die and you actually drank from one of these unsafe bodies of water? So in the meantime, while they're heating up water for you, which is the best treatment for this, so you should drink vinegar to prevent the leech or whatever it is that's in that water from killing you. So he says, if someone swallows a wasp or something, you're done. Meaning, someone who swallows a wasp is going to die. But nevertheless, you should still drink a revias of very strong vinegar, because at least then maybe you'll live a little bit longer, so that you'll have time to tell your family that you love them, and who gets what among your nechassim, and you could say goodbye to your family. But you're going to die anyway. But still, you want to try to squeeze out a little chayei sha'a out of it. Rav Shlomo Zalman is bothered in this Mishmas Avram, he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman, said, what kind of, because Mafkid Abese, how about that you try to live every second that you can, meaning you want to live a little bit longer, so that you can live a little bit longer. Isn't every moment, even Chayisho, worthwhile? So don't you have to do everything that you can in order to live a little longer? So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, Elamai, no, you don't have to do everything you can in order to live a little longer, especially if you're in pain. If a person knows that he's dying, right, these are the conditions, that he knows that he's dying, it's imminent, and he's in extraordinary pain, so he's allowed to let his neshama leave. He doesn't have to do every tachbula in order to make sure that he stays alive for every last second. This is a big discussion in Poskim, this end-of-life situation. It's maisim b'chol yom, that there are people that will stop at nothing to keep the person alive as long as they possibly can. Shlomo Zalman held that you don't have to do that. If the guy wants to be mafkid abese, so okay, so you know, you buy him a little more time to be mafkid abese, but eventually you can let go, again, provided that he knows that he's dying, that we know that he's dying from this illness, and that he's in pain, or he's living in a way that's clearly not beneficial to him. So Tanu Rabbanan, lo yishta adamayim b'layla, a person should not drink water at night from rivers and from unclean water sources. If you do so, you're taking your life into your own hands. My sakana, sakana shavriri. What is the sakana? It's the sakana of a particular shade that is called shavriri, that damages people who drink water all alone at night. The Gemara all over Shas talks about shadim. The Rambam famously writes that there's no such thing as a shade. Rabbi Breidowitz always likes to quote that, I think that they asked the Kutzker, I think it was, is the Rambam right or is the Gemara right? He said, well, the Gemara is obviously right that there are Shadim, but once the Rambam paskin that there are no Shadim, the Shadim honored the Pesach of the Rambam and they left. So that was that's one angle. So v'itzachi maitakante, and if a person is thirsty, so what should, how do you avoid this shade? So ik achrin ba'day, if there are other people with you, this year, v'lei melei tzachina maya, you should wake up the person who's sleeping next to you and say, I'm thirsty for water. And if you have no one else with you, you should make some noise by banging some pots together so that the shade will think that you have other people with you. And just say to yourself, Plania bar palnisa, ploni ben plonis, meaning say your name. Your mother told you, is dar mishavri rivri riri yari ri. You keep going down in the letters of his name, you know, minimizing him, because he chivri. And through by the shade, hearing his name, Shavriri, being holy chumusma'it, right, becoming less and less, the shade is going to run away because he thinks he's disappearing, and therefore you're going to be able to drink from the water and still avoid this shade of Shavriri. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow I guess we'll pick up from the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Everyone have a wonderful evening.